T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Bobby, you like that? You like that sound effect there? You hear the cannon go off?
What, did you come up with that?
No, I didn't.
The mark?
I don't know. Some of our production guys. Anyway,
welcome. The Cajun pea shooter. Oh,
you call yourself the Cajun pea shooter?
Well, no, I still could maybe throw it for one day hard, and then my arm would be killing me the next. Probably.
How far could you get it?
Today?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, definitely over 50.
Over 50?
Yes, for sure.
Not bad. Not bad at all.
Christian, come on, that's not that far.
Yes, it is. It's far enough.
Well, compared to you at the green bar when you played quarterback.
Yeah, I know. It was like 5 yards. Yeah. Thanks for reminding me of that. Hour two here. Bobby Deuce and Christian. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. Hayward in Cleveland, Ohio. What's going on up there in Cleveland, Ohio,
hey,
Hayward?
Hey, weather's kind of funny up here. But anyway, I miss New Orleans. But this is what I want to tell y'all. Up here in Cleveland, they're talking about Josh Gordon and the other wide receivers, the best two wide receivers coming in the NFL this year. But they also say that the number one offense in the NFL is going to be the New Orleans Saints. Now, the question I got for y'all is, did they sign, because it came out of Cleveland on the news last night, that Jamal Charles and Hightower?
Hightower is working out currently, but Jamal Charles is not going to be signed by the Saints. They're signing Terrence West.
Say it again?
They're signing Terrence West.
Never heard of him.
He played up there in Cleveland.
Yeah,
played for the Browns.
The Browns.
And the Ravens.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
So, one more thing I got for you, Bobby. They told me that I work at the newspaper company here in Plaindale, and I wear my Saints jersey almost every day at work. And they say that you're not, and the Saints are not going to Super Bowl this year. And I said, if the Saints go to Super Bowl this year, that means y'all have to go out and cook some gumbo. If you don't fix it right, I'm calling everybody in New Orleans for you.
Well, you're going to be wearing it week two?
I'm wearing it week two because we're going to whoop their butt.
Yeah, Hayward, listen, Cleveland don't need to be, the fan base doesn't need to worry about the Saints. They need to worry about can they even get or sniff 500. Now, they only win one game in 2 years?
Come on. 500?
So, Hayward, what did the Browns fans tell you in 2 seasons they only won one game? I mean, they can't be talking smack.
Well, Bobby, I told them that the Browns are going to do one thing this year they haven't did last year. They're going to win more than one game.
Well, they got enough talent to win more than one game, but I mean, Bobby giving them way too much credit. 500.
No, I'm just saying at least it's a major leap if they even 7-9 or 8-8 type team that. I mean, you think probably they could be 4-win, 5-win team. I mean,
you're gonna have Tyrod Taylor likely as your starting quarterback for a little while, and then Baker Mayfield comes into the equation at some point. I want Cleveland. I want the Browns to do something. I mean, I remember watching when Bernie Kosar was there. It's a great football town, and you're sad for the Browns, and it's kind of been they've been doing Brown things for the better part of what 10 years. I know when Romeo Crennel was there and Derek Anderson, they made the playoffs once, went 10-6, but they haven't had much to speak of for that fan base. And I've been to Cleveland. They got a great stadium. The Dog Pound is iconic. You want them to win games, and ultimately, I would love to see a Saints-Browns Super Bowl one day.
The Browns, the foundation of that team, now they changed. They got to keep the Browns name, but the players and really their organization, they won 2 Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
The Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
That's really the Browns. So that has to be a thorn in their side.
Yeah.
But, no, if you're truly cheering for the underdogs, you'd have a Lions versus the Browns in the Super Bowl. Because that's never happened.
That'd be cool. All right, we'll step away and come back. You're going to hear from Saints safety Kurt Coleman. We spent about 12 minutes with him. This guy gets it. I don't know, Deuce and Bobby, if you've heard him yet, just in general, just talk about what his role is here in New Orleans and what he hopes to accomplish here. But you're going to be impressed.
So you think he's an upgrade from Vaccaro?
Yeah, on and off the field.
Okay.
Leadership. in the locker room? Yeah, wait till you hear from Kurt Coleman next here on Sports Talk on WWL. Here at Saints minicamp from Saints headquarters, Bobby Hebert, Deuce McAllister, Christian Garrick, and Saints safety Kurt Coleman. Been impressive during OTAs, also during minicamp so far, and the free agent acquisition from Carolina this offseason. He was asked, is it odd coming in? All of a sudden, he's the veteran leader of that young group. How much did Coleman talk to his former Carolina teammate, Roman Harper, about New Orleans? Of course, Harper being with the New Orleans Saints as well. Deuce Harp recruiting again for the Saints, paying it forward, if you will, for the team that drafted him in the second round.
Well, yeah, and then, you know, I think when you look at it, it has to be the relationship as well. It's not going to fit for every player.
Sure.
And so when you talk about having a great relationship off the field, hey, look, man, this guy could step in and maybe help this young team, in which Harper knew and knows so well. And so it was just a good fit for him.
Mark, we're going to go five Coleman here. Initially, his take on this Saints secondary. Bobby, is Kurt Coleman an upgrade? You asked me, is he an upgrade over Kenny Vaccaro? I said yes. You agree?
Yes, because I think Sean Payton agrees. I think the trust factor, seeing him playing a number of years and just playing against him. You know, and I just, like you said, you talk about his leadership on the field and off. You could see that out there. And he just, now I don't think he could tackle better than Kenny Vaccaro. I'm not saying they both can tackle,
right,
but that's one thing Vaccaro could do. Now, pass coverage, yes. Coleman will not be a liability as much as Vaccaro was. Now, with that being said, I'm looking at him for my notes. There was a game that, you know who put the hurt on Coleman? Drew Brees against Carolina. So, but Drew does that to a lot of defenders. So it's to be interesting to see that Coleman and learning from that and how much better that he's gotten in pass coverage and given the opportunity.
Bobby, interesting that you asked him, or you mentioned the games against the Saints with Drew Brees getting his number a few times. I asked Kurt Coleman, this is going to be number eight, Mark. I asked Kurt Coleman, what's it like playing versus the Saints? Deuce, overall, you're impressed with his ability on the field, but what do you think he means in that locker room?
Well, I think he's still earning the respect of the players, but, you know, particularly of the guys that he is in the locker room with as far as the defensive backs. That'll come a lot earlier because they get to interact with him. That'll come, you know, whether it's in meetings, whether it's out on the practice field. I mean, because when he's calling the adjustments, he's not only making adjustments on the back end, he's working hand in hand with the linebackers. So that's one thing that's interesting as well. You know, he and AJ Klein crossed over together as far as played together. So there may be a call or two, a word or two that they're maybe familiar with that, hey, look, let's do it this way. You know, this is how we've had so much success, or, you know, when we were playing against you guys, this is what we tried to do against you as far as an offense is concerned. So those are different things that'll help. But, I mean, as he's around the other defensive players, I think the respect will come as far as earning it because of his ability not only in the meetings room, but as well as on the field.
And even, like, young guys, because Ken Crawley's still young. You look at Von Bell. You look at Marcus Williams.
Lattimore.
Yeah, they respect him. They know this is not his first rodeo.
Well, not only that, Bobby, but, hey, look, this is how you need to prepare. This is
right.
How you need to get your body ready. You know, because a lot of those guys, they don't know what it's like. You know, they've had a couple of teammates that have done it. But, hey, look, you're going into year two. You're going into year three. This is what you need to be doing. You know, what adjustments have you made since you've been in the NFL? Not necessarily with your play, but what you're doing with your body off the field.
You hear guys talk about that all the time. But for me, when you listen to Kurt Coleman, and we're going to get to some more of his sound, you listen to him, it just – you can see he totally embraces the leadership role and how the younger players are going to look at him, but also just his role on this team. I think he has the versatility to play free or strong.
Yeah, he can play either or. He could play either or. He could be a guy that comes in and he can sub out for Marcus, and or he can play in the box. We've seen Dennis use him in both ways so far as well. But here's the thing. It's one thing to talk about being a leader. It's another
right.
for your
team. You got to go out there and play, make plays.
Well, you got to make plays, but then they've got to see you doing it as well. You've got to earn that trust, and that's one of the things that he's doing.
Kurt Coleman, we'll get more from Kurt Coleman. Mark, let's go to number three. Where are you the most comfortable on the field, Kurt Coleman? Deuce, listen to what he said there. He's basically telling you that this scheme is ideally suited for his skill set because it's so multiple and versatile that he can be playing in a variety of different roles. He feels like that's where he can excel.
Yeah, and I agree with him. I mean, you know, and the final piece for us now is to see it on the film, you know, to see it on the field and see it film-wise for him. If you go back and you listen, but we know D.A., if you listen to Patrick Robinson, if you listen to Kurt Coleman right there, just tell you, hey, look, we can bring pressure from a lot of different formations. We can bring pressure from a lot of different personnel packaging. So don't just think it'll be we'll line up and we're going to be your traditional four down, three down, defensive lineman, two linebackers, a nickel, and safety. They have the ability to play three safety. They have the ability to play four safety. Now the question becomes, are you giving up big plays in the run game? I mean, because you can be cute and do some different things personnel-wise, but are you giving up big plays? That's where you have to make the difference and the stop.
Back in the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert's notebook after our CBS News headlines, our local news headlines. Deuce McAllister, Saints all-time leading rusher of the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. I'm Christian Garrick, live from Saints Camp, day two of minicamp and the books for the black and gold. This is Saints Radio, WWLAMFMN.com. Sports Talk is back live from Saints headquarters. Deuce McAllister, Saints all-time leading rusher, the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, first quarterback to lead the Saints to the playoffs. I'm Christian Garrick. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. And, Bobby, before we get to your notebook, so I was talking to you about Kurt Coleman. Is he an upgrade over Kenny Vaccaro? How is he different than Von Bell?
Well, Von Bell, all of a sudden, is like the third safety. You know, even though he's younger, he's not – the top two safety with Marcus Williams. Now, it doesn't mean he's not going to play. Like, for instance, you look at Von Bell. He's gone, and he appeared in every game last year, and he had 10 starts. And, you know, he led the Saints in tackles with 83, finished second in sacks, 4.5 and all that. So you look at his contribution. He forced fumbles. So he was making plays. But then you look at Skins on the wall and Coleman. I mean, he has 74 career regular season starts, 23 career playoff games. So, you know, Carolina's been active, been in the playoffs. And what I was looking for, Christian, and, yeah, it was the game where the Saints burned him in his last game with Carolina when they got him to bite on Mike Thomas's route before throwing an 80-yard touchdown pass again. You know, like Drew trying to sell, I'm going to Michael Thomas, and he bit. And then Ted Ginn
to the house,
80-yard touchdown. But now, Coach Payton acknowledged this, watching him on film, he's snagged a couple of interceptions and forced two fumbles against the Saints in the past 3 years. So you're talking about being a playmaker. What was so enticing about Marcus Williams when they drafted him? As a ball hawk. He had the same amount of interceptions as the Lattimore when you count the playoffs. He had five. Well, that's what Sean Payton was aware of, looking at him showing up on film and in the past 3 years coming up with a couple of picks against Drew and also forcing two fumbles. And if you look at it, Christian, you know, you look at the market that, you know, they were moving to sign him in free agency during the NFL combine.
Because he was released, so yeah, they were able to do so.
But he drew interest, like, from the Bengals, the Giants, among others, so – the Saints had to be aggressive to bring him on board.
Good text here at 870-870. If y'all had a wide receiver depth chart today, how would it look? Interesting that they asked that because we were kind of playing this game, or at least talking about the depth with Coach CJ earlier, but Mike Thomas obviously would be one. Ted Ginn Jr., Tre'Quan Smith, and I think Cam Meredith would be four.
Yeah, but two of those players aren't healthy.
Right.
So if you're going off of today, who's actually healthy?
We're going to change this. Who's healthy? Well, you said one of those isn't healthy.
Two of them.
Who's the two? Meredith and Tre'Quan. Okay.
Yeah.
Aside from health, all right, because Meredith's going to be there from training camp. So is Tre'Quan Smith. Tre'Quan Smith was out running with the trainers today, right. Minor stuff. So those four I mentioned, Mike Thomas, Tre'Quan Smith, Ted Ginn Jr., Cam Meredith, they're typically going to carry 5 to 6 on an active roster, on a 53-man roster. There's a lot of players in there. Brandon Coleman, where does he fit in? We haven't seen him during OTAs because of health. There's a ton of players that you can look at.
If you have
Austin
to go,
Carr, Tommy Lee Lewis.
Yeah, if you have it to go by who's practicing, who's playing now, I think Tommy Lee Lewis, what he's done in practice. And I think Austin Carr, and that's simply because who's available. And, Cameron Meredith, Tre'Quan Smith, not practicing. We have a chance on the back end, Traven Darrell.
Traven Darrell.
That he would be right there. Coleman.
With Traven Darrell,
he's not there.
With Traven Darrell, it's going to come down to him and special teams. Mm-hmm. What can he do on special teams? Can he kick off? He's going to get every opportunity on kickoff, and it actually is going to help him because you only get 1 yard when you talk about the kickoff. And so now
you can't get that running start.
It's not a running start. So if you're a receiver or a running back, that's how you get on this team. Because they're only going to carry so many linebackers. Normally, that's where a linebacker or a big defensive end would have made this team because, hey, look, I can build up my speed and I can run. But now, since that rule has changed.
And Deuce, when you were playing, there was a receiver, I'm not saying they're on the level of Chris Banjo or Justin Hardy. Was it Terrence Copper?
Yeah, Copper.
That was a good special team.
Yeah, special team. Yeah.
It was the back end receiver, right?
He was the fifth. He was the fifth receiver. Fourth or fifth receiver, but he killed it on special teams.
And he made tackles. That's
he ended up getting a couple snaps on offense from time to time as well.
Roby.
Courtney Roby.
Same way.
Can Traven Darrell be a Courtney Roby? Not necessarily in a return game, but some of the things that he did,
exactly
covering
right.
punts, covering kicks, et cetera. Yeah, that would be a good role. But looking at this wide receiver group, we talked about how deep they are along the offensive line. But, if they carry six, all right, there's going to be two or three guys that get
picked up by other teams.
And are going to be within the top six of those teams. So it just goes to show you how much depth and talent they have at that wide receiver group. It'll be interesting to watch training camp, and injuries are going to play a factor in who ends up making the top six or even if they carry five. I think that's a great point that the body types have changed. So now your numbers at a certain position, like wide receiver, where traditionally it might be five, could be six or even seven perhaps, based on special teams and the kickoff rule changes.
Well, if you look at special teams and who's making plays, who's making tackles, based on last year, you know who's the only offensive player that can hang with the DBs or the kickoff punt coverage? Trey Edmonds. Now
that's how he made this team a year ago.
He is like he had seven tackles. Justin Hardy had nine. Banjo had eight.
That's another player that I haven't talked about yet. That I think we should. Justin Hardy.
Oh, then
as a defensive player as well.
Justin Hardy and Chris Banjo. That if you caught in a pinch, or bind that you confident that they not for the whole month, but man, somebody got hurt. You're not only playing special teams this game. You have to go regular on defense. Chris Banjo was on a defensive
snap. He did it already. Yeah.
He did it already, and you see him making picks and passes defending and actually practice and a game.
Do you see either one of you two see Justin Hardy over Arthur Millett?
It's gonna be a good fight.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because I would say right now, yes.
But I think Arthur has the ability to probably play more corner.
Right.
Particularly nickel corner. Mm-hmm. But then you have to look at the body type as well. When you talk about Hardy, he's a taller, longer player.
He's an outside player.
And can you develop him outside? And so that's gonna be an interesting battle with those two guys. To say, hey, look. We've got to keep.
I would say right now, Arthur Millett, if you had to play for a whole month, would be a better defensive back than Hardy, but Hardy would be the better special teams player.
Arthur Millett told me today, I was talking to him, he's going to be – they just approached him to start looking at him as a punt returner as well. Yeah.
Get
hey,
some snaps there. Whatever you can do.
Yeah. That helps his cause. I mean, that's what he said. He said, I got to do anything I can do to prove my worth on this roster.
Well, when I asked Coach Payton that, I'm not looking at the kickoff return, but punt return, he said, yeah, that game is going to be won in that job in training camp.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what are they going to do in a preseason game? Who can I trust? And he's talking about a handful of guys. So they really don't know who it is.
Not yet.
You want somebody to take it.
Yeah, to take it right.
You don't want Kamara back there either. That's the problem. Because you don't have Ingram for four games, and then Kamara, you don't want to risk him the injury. You might spot use him,
but you can't put him back there full time.
But
you can't even put him back there full time.
It's a kickoff return. Right. Yeah. And the one thing that I've noticed, the drills we've watched, seems like last year OTAs and minicamps, we saw more fumbled punt returns or more muff punt. Mm-hmm. Trying to receive a punt.
Yeah, Ted Ginn Jr. was having problems with that last
year. Yeah, well, this year it seems like they're putting them back there and they're all fielding the punts and they're not muffing them.
Boston Scott might be the wild card to watch on that. We'll find out as training camp goes.
Boston Scott, I think, at Louisiana Tech, he did run back kickoffs. Now, I watched him on punt return. He looked smooth. He didn't like he was struggling, like fighting the ball. So that might be a great chance for him.
Is somebody running at him?
No, yeah. No, they can tear it. No, that's right.
I was about to ask you. You returned punts early in your career. What's the challenge there? You got to look at the guys coming at you and keep track of the ball.
You've got to locate the ball, and the spin of it changes when it's a left-footed kicker because it goes away from you. The nose of the ball goes away from you. So not only do you have to deal with the elements. In the dome, you're fine. 10 games out the year, you're fine. You go to Chicago, you go to New York, you go to Frisco, where that wind is going to take it. You got a problem. I mean, but the biggest thing is locating that football, and then where's that gunner? You know,
how often are you doing? I mean, as the ball's coming down, are you taking quick glances?
You got to peek. If not, you're gonna get your clock clean.
Well, who was Chark with LSU?
DJ Chark.
Yeah. It was like feast or famine. He took, but he beat the Auburn Tigers punt return, but then a couple of times. You go up and feel the ball, fair catch. He let it bounce and lose like 25 yards.
You're scared because
lose like two first downs.
I misjudged it, and now
see that's
I
what you can have.
It.
Let's say the punter doesn't punt it as far. You got to go up fair catch and just catch it.
Well, you got to track it. You got to track it off of his foot.
Deuce McAllister, Saints all-time leading rusher, the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. I'm Christian Garrick. We're mixing it up out here at Saints camp, day two of minicamp here on Saints Radio, WWL. .36-66 on the text line at 870-870. Why do we even return kickoffs? I can't think of one or two times when we ran the ball out of the end zone that we even got it back to the 25-yard line. And if we did, that was because of a usual penalty. Just take it and start from the 25 unless you're losing the game and need a miracle. Well, let me refresh your memory. I can think of one instance. There it is right there. Why you want to run the ball out of the end zone? You're going to see more and more.
When he actually did, Jim cut him a couple of yards short.
It was 106.
Yeah,
officially it turned out to be 106. How much do you expect the kickoffs to change, Bobby? I mean, you're going to see a lot more sky kicks and directional kicks.
Yeah, you could have basically pooch-type onside kicks, like onside kicks depending on who you got in the back end. They're going to have to cover a lot of ground because they're going to have some type of strategy. Because the way the kickoff return is structured, that you're going to see pooch kicks. Now, what you can do, and a defender cannot hit you, is you're a returner and you think the defense is close to you, they're surrounding you because fair catch it. You fair catch it, then they cannot hit you. So you'll probably see that.
But that's only if the ball has hit the ground.
If
it's in the air.
Yeah, if it's in the air. So, I mean,
you have to fair catch it. But if it's hit the ground, you can't.
No, you
got to
run. Yeah.
It's live. But you can give yourself up.
You almost have to, like, if it's pooched and they get down there, that you almost have to run under it. Not like on a punt, let it bounce. You got to go field it somehow.
Yeah, once
to fair catch it, and they can't touch you.
Once it hits the ground, the ball is live.
Oh, yeah, live. Be like a long onside kick.
Yeah, the ball is live. But you can give yourself up. So, I mean, it's almost like I can run in there sliding. And not try to advance the ball.
Some teams, I think, are going to challenge you to do that.
Yeah, to see who. Well, it depends on who you have back there. And I think that's what Sean has talked about, the three guys that are back. You know, normally it would have been an offensive lineman or an agile defensive lineman. Now it has to be tight ends or fullbacks or backup running backs as the up backs. I mean, because those guys have to be able to move and to field the football.
And, you know, when we get back from the break, Christian, I'm going to tell you, that's one area we got to improve on. Kickoff and both kickoff and punt return coverage and return.
Hidden yardage.
Our opponents outdid us last year.
Hidden yardage. Sports Talk rolls on here on WWLAMFMN.com. Deuce, with the kickoff rule change, it's fascinating to me just to think about the different body types that you're going to have back there returning. How much do you think, I guess for a better way, there's not a better way to ask this question, but how much do you think the kicking game is going to impact wins and losses this year? It's always a factor, but it seems like it could have a greater impact this year.
I think it will have a greater impact this year, particularly when you're talking early in the season. Teams will have to adjust. Team will adjust how they play the kickoff and, you know, who they play on kickoffs.
Deuce, it's been fun, man. We'll see you for day three of minicamp tomorrow.
No problem. Hopefully the weather holds up for us.
Hopefully it rains, actually, so we can go inside. You didn't hear me say that. Saints Radio, two down, two to go. The Saints all-time leading rusher, Deuce McAllister, about to get out of here. It's me and Bobby for the next 2 hours on WWLAMFMN.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O' Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.